Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
We're back here on Ruskin and Zach, and we are joined on the Williams Tractor Hotline by the head coach, the Razorbacks, Sam Pittman, joining us here on the program. Coach, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. Appreciate you spending some time with us today. On the outside, it looks like you had a pretty good day and a good recruiting class. What are your thoughts here as this kind of winds down a little bit?
Yeah, I thought that overall we had a really good class from the first time to the two signing days, and we got some really good kids. We hit our needs. Might have been one tight end short, but you know, we thought we needed some quarterbacks, and we got those. And defense, man, we needed some defensive players because of, you know, numbers were low on that side of the ball. And so I thought we addressed our needs real well, and our coaching staff did a great job of going out and finding them.
Coach, I want to ask you, you got some good news late in the afternoon. Malik Hornsby signs his name on his LOI, and you added Felipe Franks. Tell me about the quarterback situation. It was an area of concern going into recruiting. It seems like you solved some problems.
Well, Kimball Browns did a great job of with these guys, and of course, Felipe was the first one, and we just felt like we needed him, and you know, that way he's a hard guy to recruit, you know, and at the end we end up getting him to come here, and that really gives us that veteran guy who's played 2.5 years in the league, won a lot of games, and then of course Malik Hornsby was a guy that we, you know, he can run, he can throw. They run 10,700 meters. He's a guy that we think would fit in perfectly for what Kendall's offense looks like. So, yeah, that was big, big, big. You know, we had three quarterbacks. We feel like we need to carry five, and certainly got the guys we wanted.
Sam Pittman's our guest here on Ruskin and Zach. I've heard a lot of a good conversation about your staff as recruiters. But how are they at developing talent? I know that there's obviously some talent that they have to do that as well. Just talk about the staff you put together and their ability to make guys who maybe kind of fly under the radar but leave here as possibly NFL prospects one day.
I think, first of all, I think Barry Odom has proven that he can do that, you know, with the guys he had at Missouri along with Brad Davis, Sam Carter. You know, I think they're good people. They're good communicators. They know what they're doing. You know, our mouth is probably the most powerful thing we have, and they're good teachers. And you know, the game of going a little bit more about let's do this fast, and we're not teaching technique. So, I know each one of these guys are good men, and they're really good football players. So, guys are going to want to play for them. That has a lot to do with success as well.
Coach, when you got here, there were three recruits that were still part of this class, and you guys put together a heck of an effort here to get these guys. When you sat down with your staff and you started to go out and recruit, what's the first thing, you know, you guys sort of targeted as far as, was it personnel? Was it, you know, personnel groups? Was it, you know, we want this type of player? What was the first thing you guys sat down and said, we got to have this?
Well, the first signing day, we were just trying to find people we liked that liked us. I mean, we didn't care what position they were, anybody. We were trying to get some guys in that first area that we thought were good enough to play for us, and we didn't care what position. Then as it went on, you know, then there was the Felipe. We knew quarterback was, we had to take care of the quarterback situation. And so with Felipe, it allowed us then to go out and get whom we thought was the best quarterback in the country available. And, you know, but what we talked about really is we wanted good kids. We would not take anybody that we wouldn't take if we had a year. In other words, if they weren't somebody we thought could help us, we didn't want a guy that we would take for 4 years and he wasn't able to help us. So we wanted to really, really, really stay with our evaluation process. Were they SEC caliber players? And I think for the most part, that's what we did. And then we met with the, you know, I ranked them, the staff ranked them. We came in, we met with each coordinator and each position coach, and we ranked them. This is what we want to go. This one first, this one second, and all those things. And then we went out and tried to get them.
Coach, you mentioned the lack of numbers at tight end. Is that something that maybe some players that are currently on the roster kind of shuffle around to do a different position to help out there?
You know, I think we're going to have to. And we haven't talked to any players on our team or anything of that nature. But we can't go through spring ball with two tight ends, eh? And so we're going to have to develop that position from somebody currently on our team or somebody's currently on our team. I think we need five. And with the signing day of Colin Sutherland, that'll get us to three. But this spring, we're going to have to shuffle some guys in there. And I'm not positive who that's going to be right now. Certainly, we haven't talked to them yet, so we don't want to talk about names or anything of that nature.
Coach, when spring ball gets underway, are you going to be sort of the CEO, sit back, kind of let your coaches do the thing? Or are you going to sort of make that natural gravitation over to the offensive line? Because you pulled in some big-time recruits in this group.
You broke up on me, but I think he's asking about what I'm going.
Are you going to sort of gravitate towards the offensive line, because that's your area of expertise? It's kind of where you're at. Are you going to be kind of hands off and let your guys do their thing?
No, we hired Brad Davis to be the O line coach, and that's what he's going to do. Now, honestly, I'm going to try to get over to the defense a little bit more, just because I want to show our team that I'm not an offense or a defensive coach. I'll have a lot to do with the special teams, but I'm not going to be the guy who stands around at practice and lets everybody coach. I'm going to let them coach, but I'm going to be right in the middle of their drills and helping any way I can. Not coaching over their shoulder, but I want to be able to help every position. And you know, I may not be the greatest cornerback coach, you know, or quarterback coach for that matter, but I'm certainly going to have enough knowledge to help the position coaches when needed. But I cannot imagine myself being just the CEO as it comes to practice.
Are those days kind of over? You know, like Bear Bryant was in the tower for all those years. Is that kind of passe in the game today, you think?
Well, if we can win as many as Bear Bryant, I'll be in the tower too.
Of course, yeah.
I think everything changes. You know, shorts used to be longer too. Now they're getting back up to where they were when I was in high school. Things change all the time. I think you just have to be you, and whatever that is. And you know, like I said, we're not a big slogan team. We're a blue collar team, and I am who I am. We tell recruits all that time. So I'm gonna go out there and figure it out, to be honest with you, because I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I know that I'm going to be involved day to day with everything, every aspect of our program.
Coach, you've had a great 2 months. You finally got to all the signatures that you wanted. What's for dinner tonight? How are you celebrating?
Well, I'm going to go. We have a function tonight from 6 to 8, and I don't know what they have over there, but I promise you, whatever it is, I'm going to eat it, because I'm starving right now. You see me, I'm trying to lose a little weight now that I'm a head coach. You know, I can't be, you know, it's hard to gain all that weight and look like an O-line coach. But since I'm not now, I'm going to have to lose some of this weight. So I hope it's a little bit of carrot stuff or something.
All right. Well, Coach, we'll let you get to it. Thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
All right. Sam Pittman with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Some carrot stuff.
I doubt it.
Nah. Perfect answer. Whatever they got, I'm going to eat it.
I don't know what carrot stuff is, but I ain't eating it.
All our guests join us in the Williams Tractor Hotline. Back with more in a second.
Ruskin and Zach.
Seton Hall starting point guard Quincy McKnight listed day-to-day with an injury to his left knee.
16-5. What do you want here?
With half a roster. By the way, the 12th ranked and now my Pirates.
Seton Hall. Huh? Seton Hall, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're not Sailors, but Pirates.
let that linger there. Okay.
Ruskin and Zach.
Dave Van Horn, head coach of the Diamond Hogs, with us here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. And, Coach, as always, we appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Well, good to be with you. It's just about that time.
I know. It's 28 degrees this morning, so it's just about baseball season. So just talk about the growth from the fall to where this team is now as we sit, you know, a week away from the season beginning.
Well, there's been a lot of growth, especially with, you know, our pitching staff. I think guys have really made a move, especially when you just even go back with the returners from last year. They're a lot better than they were, bigger and stronger, command their pitches better. Maybe they've developed a little better off speed. And then the freshmen, since they've arrived in the fall, we've seen them relax a little bit and continue to get better. And you know, they feel like they're part of it. And, you know, we've got a good tradition going on over here. And, you know, just a good feeling in the locker room. Guys are close. That's big to us. We try to promote that as best we can with our culture and the culture in the locker room. And it's all coming together. Obviously, you know, we got to keep it up. And then as far as position players, you know, we've had some development from some of the returners, and then some of the new guys have really come in and fit in well with our program with not only their talent, but their makeup and the way they treat their other teammates.
Coach, I saw something yesterday. 6,900 reserve tickets are sold. There are no reserve tickets left. There are very few places in the country that can say, I don't know of any, to be honest, that can go and say that. What does it say about sort of, you know, the fan base and their thirst for college baseball, and how much of an advantage does that give you?
Well, first off, a big thank you to our fans. It's been incredible this year, and I think, you know, maybe we need to put some more seats in the stadium. That's what I would do if I could. But you know, it's great to be able to tell recruits that and their families, and talk about how you know, the fan base treats our baseball program and how they support it. Even when it's not going good, our fans have come out and they've stuck with us until we flipped the switch or turned the corner. Or maybe even, you know, didn't finish well like at 16. They came back in 17. We've been pretty good ever since, and hopefully we can keep doing it. But it's something that you can brag about a little bit, and I'm excited about the future and this new facility we have being built, and that's going to, you know, be able to host a few more fans, and then, you know, maybe down the road we'll do something on the other side of the stadium.
I'm talking with Dave Van Horn here on Ruskin and Zach. I know that, you know, Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, you're always competing with the draft and everything, but it seems like those guys that are kind of borderline are more likely to come to college baseball now than they are to go ride around the bus for a few years. Is that what's happening, or is college baseball becoming more attractive because of atmospheres and places where you can play, like at Arkansas?
Well, there's a few reasons. Obviously, just to give a... If people will really take a step back, families will take a step back and say, what's really best for my son, for him to sign as an 18-year-old and go out and really start working and not really be around maybe some of the things they should be around, too much freedom maybe. We feel like at the college level that we can develop them maybe better than the professional people. We're not saying we're better coaches. It's just the setup and the situation, and they get to obviously get some education, work towards a degree, enjoy their, you know, their next 2, 3, 4 years that they'll never get back. They sign out of high school. The thing is, they get money, and they have money in the bank. So, you know, I think that unless they get a lot of money now, I think more families are realizing, you know, we can do this in 3 years, and he can see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as getting his degree if he signs after his junior year. And I just feel more, I guess, families are making that decision. You know, when there's a lot of money involved, we don't try to really talk them into it a whole lot because it's their thing. They got to figure out what they want to do, and I don't want to feel guilty about it if someone came in here and didn't do well and didn't get offered that money again. But 95% of the kids that come through here might double their money, and they get to be, like I said, they get to grow up for 3 more years and learn how to be social and just a lot of things they can take with them for the rest of their life. But I think players and families have just gotten smarter and really not jumped on it, because the pro people, you know, they've had to work maybe a little harder to sign guys. But at the same time, they've let some guys go to college because they don't want to pay the huge amounts of money to high school kids coming out of high school, because a lot of them fail. The percentage of the kids in college is like so much higher of them succeeding and making it to the big leagues, and that's the ultimate goal.
Coach, I want to ask you about, you've got veteran guys on this team, Kerstad, Martin, Nolan, Opitz, guys who've been there, done that, gone to the College World Series, but you've got a guy on your roster this year who's going to play significant minutes or significant time for you, playing at second base from Robert Moore, who probably might be more comfortable across the street at Fayetteville High School with kids his own age. He hasn't had his license for more than a year.
Yeah, you know, it's not something that I would, you know, try to do if I didn't feel good about it. I've known Robert's dad for a long time, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, and what is his job? It's players, it's personnel, it's the draft. And for him to want his son to go to college makes a big statement, in my opinion, that he didn't feel like, in Robert's case, it was best for him to sign right out of high school because he could have gotten some pretty good money. But Robert is, he'll be 18 in April, years old. But he's advanced because he's grown up around the game. He's grown up in Kansas City, hanging out at the stadium. He's gotten to go to spring training as a kid every year and work out and practice with minor league guys and be around big league guys. And, you know, I think it's advanced him mentally a little bit, and, he has a good feel for the game. I also wouldn't bring in a high school senior or even ask him to do it if we didn't think they could play and play a lot and help us, because that wouldn't be fair to them. And we had a need with Kenley leaving last year and kind of what the way we had done things as far as recruiting, that he could come right in here. Now, this isn't something that we just decided to do in the fall. We've been talking to Robert and his family about this for a year and a half, and he's been kicking it around. He started taking more classes, summer classes, and got to the point where he could get there at Christmas time if he needed to, and went up and sat in his house in the fall and kept it quiet, left it up to him, showed him everything again, where he'd be at, what we thought, and he decided to do it. And I think it's been a good move for him.
We're talking with Dave Van Horn here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. You mentioned some growth earlier with the guys specifically. What kind of growth have you seen from Nolan and Wicklander, the two big guys at the top of your weekend rotation?
Well, with Wicklander, what I've seen is he's commanding the baseball a lot better than he did last year. Last year, you know, he was probably 50-50 strikes. This year it's better, you know, and he got himself into trouble because he walked people. They didn't hit him real good, and he had a lot of strikeouts. Had to pull him out of games early when, you know, we were winning, but only by a couple of runs. Before the fifth inning, he probably could have had a few more wins. I know he would have. And I think that he'll be able to go deeper into games. He's got a better breaking ball. Velocity's up. He's stronger. Just some normal, you know, progression there. But also, you know, working with Coach Hobbs, I think, is helping advance him. And then with Connor, just being here, full-time baseball player throughout the fall, all summer, the way he works out, his mindset. You know, velocity's jumped 3 miles an hour probably consistently. Breaking stuff is as good or better than it was. And just him being comfortable and being here and not being a two-sport athlete probably makes it a lot better for him mentally. He's probably been able to have more fun as far as just be a kid a little bit, because that's a big part of it. You know, these, you know, we want the guys to get to have a good time, relax, and, you know, be a college kid, because these years go by fast, but at the same time, be disciplined. And I think Connor has really enjoyed this past year.
Ruskin and Zach.
Said she's got dogs, though.
What kind of dogs?
They're both mutts. And then we have a golden. Zeke and Brady and Miller.
No, I figured you would have named them like Dickerson and James.
No. Tom Brady obviously has a very special place in my heart. And then I got one of my dogs at the draft party when Zeke was drafted in the first round.
Wait a minute. Somebody brought a dog to a draft party? Was it like a door prize? Hey, you get a puppy.
The Cowboys every year have a big party because it's a 3-day event, you know, at the stadium. And I was working for them at the time. And
wait a minute. You worked for the Cowboys?
Yeah, briefly.
Oh, we got to get into this.
I was an event presentation intern, so I worked game days, and then I kind of made friends with the editorial staff, and I worked for their website.
Mickey Spagnuolo?
Who don't we like down there?
What do you mean?
On the Cowboys staff. Who do we not like?
They were very nice to me.
Jera?
I never interviewed Jerry myself, I don't think.
I almost got locked in that stadium once.
I mean, I know all the fun facts about that stadium. I gave several tours around there to
important people.
The marble on the floors, it was on back order when it was supposed to be getting put in. So Jerry bought the company, moved his order up the list, and then sold the company at a profit. Is the story that I was told to tell people.
That's great.
And it's a really cool marble. It has like blue chips in it that like, you know, glint when you look at them in a certain way. So...
Ruskin and Zach. The Razorback Talk Show designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
So this is going to be weird. The first I'm about to read a story about is sitting right across from me. The Arkansas women's basketball team, down 13, with 5:35 to play, fought back to knock off Missouri last night in Columbia, 85-82 in overtime. We're going to see how quick he is on this. Alexis Tolfrey hit for a career-high 35 as the Razorbacks move to 18-4 in the season, 6-3 in league play. Next up, a date with South Carolina in Fayetteville on Thursday. After the game, Coach Mike Nabers said,
What a comeback. And Alexis Tolfrey and I combined for 35.
There you go.
It's like a live actuality. Like, we don't have to hit the thing. It's right here.
I love it. Yeah,
she and I combined for 35 on the day.
Ruskin and Zach.
So, on to some football recruiting now here on Ruskin and Zach. And Nikki Chavanel is here with us to cover that. Hogbeat.com, the place to be this week. It's National Signing Day on Wednesday. H-A-W-G, Hogbeat.com. Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. So before we look ahead to Wednesday, let's talk about what happened over the weekend. Tell us about this the defensive lineman that they got into the fold here.
Yeah. So when Sam Pittman got here, he extended an offer to Troup County High School defensive tackle Andy Boykin. He is from LaGrange, Georgia. He's 6'4", 300 pounds, a three-star. He was at one point committed to Auburn and even has a teammate already early enrolled to Auburn. But based on his academics, a lot of schools kind of backed off of him. He decommitted a while ago. His ranking dropped a little bit. And Arkansas just happens to be in a position where if there's a really talented kid, they can afford to wait a little while for an ACT grade or whatever to see if it works out. Because this kid's really talented, has offers from Alabama, Florida, a lot of other SEC programs, just is kind of a grade risk. And so a lot of schools, they, you know, don't want to risk losing a scholarship in the class, but, Arkansas doesn't have any defensive tackles besides him. So it was really important to get him on this weekend.
Nikki, I don't think you understand how Twitter works. You never ask questions and ask the people to ask what you want Musselman to, you know, you do this every time. Hey, we got a presser, you know, the drill. What do you want to know? I mean, you know, you're going to get dumb questions, right?
But there are the gold questions that sometimes I can actually ask, and I also appreciate the humor value. You know? I feel like maybe some people got distracted at work today because of that, and that's kind of fun for me.
So, Arkansas had the Clemson defensive tackle in this weekend. How did that visit go? I've seen all the crystal ball stuff that say, you know, he's a lock to come to Arkansas. Where does he stand?
Yeah, so he was really pleased with his visit, said it was great. He enjoyed the coaches and campus and everything like that, said he would be a good fit and that he basically just needed to go home and talk to his family. He doesn't have to be here until May because, you know, school's already started, so he can't enroll now, but there's really no rush for him. He doesn't have any other visits planned, so it's kind of just waiting to see if he announces any day now. So I really like that. He is a former Rivals 150 guy, just just kind of got buried on the Clemson depth chart and didn't get to do too much over there.
Yeah, talking about Xavier Kelly, is a four-star player, correct?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're talking with Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat, part of Rivals here on a Ruskin and Zach National Signing Day on Wednesday in football. Are there guys deciding on Wednesday? How does the Wednesday kind of shape out for fans wanting to kind of follow along? Who's deciding? How's it going to go? At least for now, how does it look like it's going to go?
Yeah. So starting with the seven guys already committed, all of those guys, actually eight guys now that Boykin's in there, all of those guys are looking good, planning to sign. I have some signing times for some guys, but some have yet to figure it out for Wednesday. I'm hounding them nonstop, but everything looks good with those guys. So there's roughly five spots left, and Arkansas is looking at a quarterback who is Malik Hornsby. All signs point to Arkansas. He canceled his official to Baylor this past weekend, so just waiting for him to decide on signing day. Don't know if there will be hats on the table. Maybe he could announce before then, but, if you waited this long, you might as well wait till Wednesday. And then there's two offensive linemen. They're kind of fine on numbers, so if they don't get both of them, they're okay. But, you put in the work, you want to land both. Jalen St. John, all the future casts, all the crystal ball picks are going in for Arkansas. He was committed to Brad Davis and Barry Odom at Missouri. So that's a four-star that he had a lot of connections with previously, and you can easily flip him to Arkansas. He hasn't decided yet, but will on Wednesday, and everything's looking good there. And then things aren't as clear with Marcus Henderson, a three-star from Memphis. He has Ole Miss looking at him as well. And they're kind of throwing in, maybe you play some tight end, maybe you play defense, whatever you want, kid, just get over here. Arkansas is, pitching more traditional, play offensive line, be great with Sam Pittman, Brad Davis, all that stuff. So it's going to be a toss-up. It sounds like sources at Ole Miss are feeling more confident than we're feeling over here, but we'll see on Wednesday about that one. And then there are two former commits making decisions with Arkansas potentially being a close second, which is going to be a big bummer, especially for Alan Horace, tight end out of Crockett, Texas, who was committed to Arkansas, decommitted, and then Ole Miss came along, and UTSA, where Jeff Traylor and Barry Lunney are now, they want him really bad, and they feel like their relationship is enough to keep him from going into the SEC, which sometimes it is. Some kids are just different, and that relationship means more to them than anything, so they need a tight end, but it looks like they may not get Alan Horace. And then Savion Williams. I know Justin Stepp was in to see him as much as he possibly could, but TCU is half the distance from home from him in East Texas, so that one is also going to be a toss-up on signing day.
Nikki, a month and a half ago, this class had three guys in it, and now it sits at 17 incoming freshmen. You add some transfers. Give me, an A, B, C, D, E, F ranking on this for Sam Pittman. From where I sit, this is about as great as you could have hoped for. He's nailed this almost across the board.
Yeah, it's definitely been an A performance so far. I don't think signing day is going to go as well as it could have gone, but a lot of these things you can't really hold against the staff. They just haven't had very much time to recruit these guys and build those relationships, but based on everything I've seen, there's reason to be very hopeful for the future of their recruiting, and I still give them an A.
Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat is with us here on Ruskin and Zach, the place to be with National Signing Day coming up coming up on Wednesday. They also got their first 2021 commit over the weekend.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me because, you go 2-10, 2 years in a row, you're not sure if even these in-state kids are absolutely dying to be Razorbacks, but Terry Wells from Wynn, Arkansas, grew up a Razorback fan, and he's an offensive tackle. Arkansas hasn't been able to lock down an in-state offensive lineman since Noah Gatlin in the 2018 class, so I was surprised, but I thought eventually Terry Wells would end up at Arkansas. He picked up a lot of attention this winter after doing really well at an Under Armour camp and winning most valuable offensive lineman there as a junior. So a great pickup for Arkansas really early in his recruitment, just because here at Arkansas, you don't get a ton of offers until probably your beginning of the senior season, just because they don't have as much exposure.
Yeah, I've seen some projections that say by the time he's done at the end of next year, he could be a five-star by the time this is all over. And, I mean, he's an exceptional talent, and there's a lot more of those kids in the state. Where I'm seeing, you know, in a lot of these commits, a lot along both lines of scrimmage right now. When do we start to see the explosion maybe at some of the skill positions, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Every class is just different. You never know what to expect. I know that the 2021 class seems a lot better off with talent than the 2020 class, but I don't know why. It seems to just vary year to year. Like, you're not going to have a Treylon Burks and a Hudson Henry every year, and then you're not going to have a Terry Wells or a Stacey Wilkins every year. It just kind of varies.
Nikki Chavanel and the Arrivals team all over National Signing Day Wednesday. Get on hogbeat.com right now and get signed up. HAWG hogbeat.com. Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ruskin and Zach.
When was the last time you got teed up, and what did you say?
I got teed up 2 games ago.
But what did you say? I mean, what will get you teed up? Please don't say it.
Being sarcastic.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sarcasm does not go
really?
Over. Yes.
For example?
They don't like sarcasm?
Hey, no. Nice call.
No. Mine's usually, and I listen, I would tell you I earn 90% of mine because I am very sarcastic and probably too much to the point. But I carry grudges, and I don't let things go.
Like game to game or season to season?
With 9 years ago. I still remember a game that was 9 years ago.
Yes!
The last technical I got was because of something that happened 9 years ago. And I wait for the, and then I save it, and then the opportunity comes up, and I get them. And I'm not proud at all, but they are usually at least somewhat timed and calculated to some degree.
You guys think through those?
Well, you don't want to do it when you got the ball now, and I did that once already this year because we lose the ball in women's game.
Like Cal getting teed up. Was that intentional?
I don't think his initial tee was intentional.
That's what I've been saying. Was,
but I think after the first one, I think because nobody came to get him. There was not an assistant coach running down
there.
That's
right, yep.
He was, the officials did not want to throw him. You could tell. They were trying to talk him down. And then all three of them got him. So I think there was at one point when he got the first, and again, I'm just guessing, but I'm reading body language, and I wasn't as close to the action as Coach Van Horn was.
No.
he was on top of it.
He was stretching his arm. He wasn't waving.
Is that what he went with?
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Okay. Is there a magic word that'll get you teed up pretty quick?
Anything in our game that it goes to questioning integrities or, you know.
How much are they paying you?
Yeah, something like that.
That'll get you.
That'll get you every time. I'm not a cusser. I'm not a big cusser, but I am sarcastic. And I think there's a lot of people in our game that are cussers and they don't get teed. So I may have to switch game up.
Change up your modus operandi.
Ruskin and Zach. Live across the ball.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
We're back here on Ruskin and Zach. I have a special guest with us here for the final half hour of today's program. Comedian Reno Collier appearing at the Grove tonight and tomorrow. Tonight at 7 and tomorrow night at 6 and 8:30. Two shows. Is the 8:30 show dirtier than the 6 o'clock show?
Oh, man, the 6 o'clock's filthy.
Okay.
You guys.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to jack your dinner up.
Awesome.
No, it's not.
Well, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Our listeners always complain that we're not funny, so we brought in a professional.
No, we brought in a pro.
It's not going to get any better.
Do you think you can say something funny right now?
No.
That's great. All right. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are curious about the life of a stand-up comic on the road.
Mine has been all over the place. Like, I started out, I used to teach school.
Yeah. And, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I was a PE teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. And for like a year and a half, not that long.
Didn't go well?
No, it was, you know, I was boozing it up pretty good. you know, not at school, but they could smell it, you know?
Do you draw a lot of your comedy from
basically real life. I mean,
yeah, it's all based off of real life. I got kids and an ex-wife, and I used to teach school. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, really. Yeah, tell me something real. But
yeah, really.
So yeah, it all comes from real stuff.
None of your kids, do they partake in any of this? They watch you at all?
Unfortunately, yeah. Like, you know, like when you first start out, you don't think like, hey, you know, someday I might have kids that'll be able to pull this up on the internet and watch everything else that I said about their mom. You know, like, wow. You know,
you know, it's funny. They say that about radio shows too.
Yeah. I didn't see the internet coming. You know what I mean? I was just, bah, 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 she's not here. Bah, 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 you know, and especially when we got divorced, it got a little ugly. Cause that's where I get stuff off my chest, and that's what makes me feel better is the lie. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I try to keep it as I do twist things a little bit. You know, if the story isn't
right
where it should be, I'll tweak it a tad.
It's theater of the mind. You exaggerate for entertainment purposes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've seen the TV stuff. Like I had a show on NBC for a little while that I hosted that they could watch. And then I had a fishing show on Animal Planet and they could watch it.
Well, those things are in two opposite directions.
Yeah.
A fishing show?
Well, the NBC show was a traveling show also with people in RVs. And then the fishing show was called Top Hooker. That was like, I know.
I wouldn't have guessed that as a fishing show.
I know. I don't know if I could say what I told them I thought they should name it, but it had the word master in it. And then what you do to catch a fish. Anyway. and they could watch that, but then Comedy Central stuff, they can't. You know, I try to divert them, but you can't stop a kid with a phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you Google
stuff. No, you can't.
Stuff.
No.
So I did a real clean special this past year, and they can watch all that. I was talking about going to church. And
yeah, of course you were.
No, I really was. Like,
really?
I do. I'm a Christian. I just say bad things and have bad thoughts.
Well, that's why you go every Sunday to, you know, you just cleanse the palate and, and then move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's what my ex-wife, she was Catholic, and they've got the setup right. Like Presbyterians, I still leave feeling bad, but they, you know what I mean?
No,
they could go in there. They got that guy in the box.
Right,
like,
yeah.
No, like, what do you do?
You can go to confession once a week, get it. I mean, you're absolved. You walk out. And go, woo-hoo!
Yeah, right. Thanks, man. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be back
tomorrow. They're like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going to go get drunk and steal another lawnmower. I'll be back. Stay in that box. Yeah.
I've gone to the priest and gone, look, how long do we have?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm double booked.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be here a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedian Reno Collier at the Grove tonight, Friday, tonight at 7 o'clock, Saturday, 6 and 8:30. I think people... when they talk about stand-up comedians, they don't know about the grind that I think Jerry Seinfeld said one time, like there's 6 years where it just never works. It takes a long time to get established.
I lived out of my car when I first started. I was stupid, man. Like I was bartending and I was teaching school. I was bartending at a comedy club and teaching school at the same time. And I got a couple gig offers and they were like, it's like $150 for the week and we'll give you a hotel. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm out of here. And I ditched my apartment. I quit my teaching job and I literally lived on the road for like 4 years. Wow. Just going from like I'd be in Lubbock, Texas one weekend and then I'd have 2 days to get to Myrtle Beach and I'm just in a Honda Civic with like a hot pot, my clothes and beer cans are flying out the window and I'm like, and people are like, is it hard? I'm like, absolutely not. It was the greatest. I had no responsibility at all. Like nothing. A car. You know what I mean? And then I did that and then I moved out to Los Angeles for a while and then did some stuff, you know, got some TV stuff and did all that. But then I've been in Murfreesboro, Tennessee for 15 years.
I'm sure that Murfreesboro is a fine place to get a lot of material.
You know, it's awesome. And that, you know what? I couldn't get any TV shows on when I lived in LA. Then I moved to Murfreesboro and they can't get a hold of you. And then all of a sudden I start getting stuff.
Yeah,
and
create demand.
I got one of, I was on tour with Larry the Cable Guy for like 10 years.
How was that?
A blast. Total. And then I did 2 years.
Did he pay for everything or is he cheap?
Yeah, he paid for everything.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
If he didn't, I'd be disappointed.
No, he honestly is one of the best dudes. He paid for everything and then more. I should have been fired every week. Like that dude, I mean, honestly, there were times like I was out with Ron White for a little while and then I'd switch back and forth, right? And then, so when you're with Ron, I go out and do 25 minutes and I'm like, thank you, good night. And I walk off stage. Right. And then the lights go dark and a spotlight hits a bottle of scotch and Ron comes out. Well, I'd done like a week with Ron and then I went back to go with Cable Guy. So it was his first ever arena show by himself, sold out 15,000 seats in Raleigh, North Carolina. I go out to do my set and I'm like, "Dad, thank you. Good night." And I walk off the stage and he's looking at me. He's like, "Dude, you didn't bring me on." And I'm like, "Oh, man." And the music, I didn't even introduce him. Like, I'm supposed to at least say, "You ready to have a good time? Larry the Cable Guy." I said nothing. I was high-fiving people. "That's my show. Thank you very much. 15,000.
That's when you look at him and go, "Well, that's your problem."
Yeah. But I'm honest to God, dude. We've talked about it. We still laugh about it. And he's like, "I couldn't fire you. You made me laugh." Like, I couldn't, you know?
I'm going to use that the next time Candace comes in here. "You can't fire me."
Yeah.
I make you laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up, who were your guys?
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Eddie Murphy, when I was a kid, made me laugh because I'd never heard that stuff. I didn't know. Raw. Yeah. Mr. T.
Norton.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff. As a kid, remember.
Today don't know who Eddie Murphy is other than he was the voice of the donkey in Shrek. Shrek.
Yeah. Or they think he's Daddy Daycare. And I'm like, that dude is totally different than Raw. But it was the Walkman. You guys are too young to remember.
No.
But I'm Walkman.
With the phones that shot up over your head. Yeah. It was like a satellite dish.
And I'd sit in my room and listen to that and cry. And I could do all the voices. And I had that thing memorized. And then as I got older, my mom, I kept getting fired from stuff. Right? I just walk out. Like, I didn't have any. And my mom's like, "Honey," she goes, "I love you, but I'm going to give you some advice. You need to find what your favorite thing in the world to do is and then figure out a way to make money at doing that." And I was like, "Well, I love boozing it up. And I love telling jokes to my friends. I'm going to be a comedian." And then I started. She's like, "That's not what I was talking about, jackass. I meant like a job, like a real thing." But yeah, Eddie Murphy and who else? Robin Williams used to make me laugh, too. Oh, Martin Short, man.
Yes.
The old Saturday Night Live and the old SCTV stuff was the best. John Belushi. And when you're a kid, you don't even understand what it is, really. But you just know it's wrong and funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand.
You know, if your parents go,
yeah.
You know it's funny.
Dude, as soon as you hear, "Don't watch that."
Yeah, exactly.
You're on it.
If you're going to turn it on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when Martin Short was that, Ned Grimley with the big spiked up hair and the obsession with Pat Sajak?
The characters, that look on his face. I got to do his show and I told him, he's my mom's favorite comedian. And I told him about it, and he sent my mom a robe, like a Martin Short robe, and all this nicest. I hate meeting people that I think are really funny, because if they're a jerk,
thank you for censoring that.
Yeah, sorry. It's terrible, right? So, like, I went to a cable guy used to make me go to every Nebraska game. If we were on the, if they had a home game, we were flying from wherever we were to Lincoln to watch the game, and then we would not have a show that Saturday and then fly somewhere Sunday. So Will Ferrell was coming to, he's a USC fan.
Right? All these names Nebraska. He's dropping, wow.
What's that?
Will Ferrell?
Larry the Cable Guy? No, I know. Larry the Cable Guy, he's not, come on.
Look at what we're doing, and look at what he's doing.
Trust me, anyway. So he was coming to the game, right? And I was like, I don't know if I want to meet the guy, because do we have to go to commercial?
You keep going.
No, I'll tell you. It's kind of long. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I just started hearing that spa music, and I was like, I'm about to get a massage.
That's the 1 minute signal.
Oh, okay.
Final lap.
That's right. So we'll continue with Reno Collier at the Grove tonight and tomorrow night.
I want to know who's a jerk.
Yeah. Can you spill on that?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
Most guys who are really funny aren't.
Oh, stop it. Come on.
Bill Maher's a jerk.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. We could kind of sense that, though.
Yeah.
Or just probably watch. All right. More with Reno Collier coming up here on Ruskin and Zach. Stay where you are.
Ruskin and Zach.
The Bad Boys of Arkansas Radio.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
We're back with comedian Reno Collier in studio tonight at the Grove, 7 o'clock show, 6 o'clock tomorrow, 8:30 tomorrow evening as well. You were telling us about going to a Nebraska football game with Larry the Cable Guy and Will Ferrell, and you got interrupted to pay a few bills.
So yeah, man, you got to pay the bills.
That's right.
That's right. So Will's he's a huge USC right. fan, right? So they would fly from LA to come to the Nebraska games, and so nobody bothered them. Not bothered them, but nobody was hanging on so they could watch the game. They would sit in Cable Guy's box, right? Mm-hmm. He and this guy, Adam McKay. So they come, and we're all at this Embassy Suites Hotel in Lincoln, and before the game, the band from the school comes in and plays, and it's real loud, and everybody gets around the what are you call it?
Atrium.
The atrium, yeah, to watch the band come in. It's packed, and everybody's cheering. So they sneak Will up into a room so he can change clothes or whatever, and they were supposed to go. And at the time, we all had the same agent, right? So Cable Guy's already at the game, and I'm with the agent, and then I'm like, hey, I had done a show with Cable Guy at the football stadium, so people in Nebraska knew who I was, and they were like, hey, come in our room, drink a beer, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. So I get diverted, and I'm like in a room, and they're trying to find me. The agent walks by, it's like a human aquarium, like there's that big glass window, and I'm on the end of the bed doing a beer bong out of the thing, and they're like, Reno, you're holding Will up. I'm like, I saw Old School, he's fine, let it go, man, he's not gonna care. And they're like, we got to go. So we go to sneak him out. And when people see him, they go berserk, man. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we go in this elevator down to the bottom. They take us out the back. We get in this van. And I was going like, God, please don't be a jerk. Please don't. And he was the sweetest guy. He's like, so you have kids and, you know, da, da, da. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, Nick said that you had a just had a Comedy Central special and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and he was just so nice. Right. So we get to the stadium and the van pulls up. And I'm telling you, there's 2,000 people in between us and getting to the elevator to go up in the stadium, right to the box. So we get out and people, and I'm thinking Cable Guy will, for 2 hours, will sit there and he'll call your mom. He'll sign everything. I mean, he won't. He'll miss the game. He'll just sit there and talk to every single person. And I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. We're never going to get to the... So the van doors open up and these people are like, you're my boy, Blue, you're my boy. They're screaming at him. And I had this sweatshirt on with a hood. And all of a sudden, I feel the hood go over my head. I'm bent over and I'm being pushed through these people. And Will Ferrell's pushing me, yelling, get out of the way. This guy's kind of famous or something. I think he has a special on Comedy Central. Make sure you check it out. And I'm thinking, I'm like, is Will Ferrell pushing me through these people? And it's like, bang, bang. I'm like a ping pong. Bang, 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 bang. We go running up. We get in the elevator. The door's closed. He was like, that was pretty cool. And I'm like, I couldn't even put it together, right? So the thing... And I'm on the phone with my ex-wife. We were married at the time. And I'm talking to her. And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. I'm at the game. And Will walks over. And he's like, who are you talking to? And I was like, oh, it's my wife. And he's like, can I say hi? And I'm like, yeah, of course, man. I hand him the phone. And I'm going to clean this up.
Thank you.
And she goes, hey, who is this? And he goes, it's Will Ferrell. And she goes, shut up.
Beep.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, okay, no, I'm serious. And she's like, whatever, put Reno back on the phone. He's like, she's a peach. So he can see in the future, too.
Yeah, I mean, he knew before you did.
Yeah, and then she's like, who was that? I'm like, that was Will Ferrell, dummy. And she's like, can I talk to him? I'm like, no, he hates you now. No, he doesn't like you, yeah.
There's so many people. I hear stories all the time of somebody, a famous person calls them, and they're like, okay, whatever. Who is this? Like, they always think they're joking. No, it's really me. It's really whoever they're trying to get to.
Especially when it's that far out of left field.
Yeah.
Like, why would you be on the phone?
In Nebraska.
In Nebraska, yeah.
All right, so Bill Maher's a jerk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I did a show a long time ago that politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's just so... I can't stand most of the people out there. That's the real reason why I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to stab somebody. Like, I cannot take the condescending, snotty.
I've got a syndicated cable show and nobody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of his. So
I'm not either. Look,
the floor is yours. Have at it.
Yeah, dude. He has that little man, big head syndrome. Mm.
You know what I mean? We know some people like that.
Yeah. Like just, I don't mean big head like cocky. I mean big head like lumpy. Like just his head
it's a giant head. His
body.
Yeah.
Hey, careful.
I have a big head.
Yeah, I do too.
It hurts my back. Yeah. But I'm trying to make fun of somebody else. By portraying my own weaknesses on a little short man.
So you've toured with all the blue collar guys. You mentioned Ron and Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Engvall and all those guys.
Yeah, I did 2.5 years of an arena tour. It was me and Cable Guy and Foxworthy and Engvall, called Them Idiots, and we filmed a special for it or whatever. And it was
That's fun, gotta be man. Cool.
It was fun. It was really fun. But those arena shows are weird. It's not like I love like this. The Grove is beautiful, man. Today's the first time I've seen it. It's a killer looking place.
It's more intimate.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is because you do an arena show and people are looking at the Jumbotron watching you on TV. They're not even
right.
There's no connection, you know, and I don't walk around with a mic out of the stand a lot. So I'm standing in the round, in the middle. There's people all the way around. So 50% of the people are looking at my ass the whole time. and I don't have one. I'm all gut and no butt. So it's just this dumpy pair of pants. And I'm standing there going like...
You can feel free to steal this. We call it the half-sucked milk dud.
That's
what that
or
is.
Or the Hank Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So but in a club, you can see the people and you can feel it. It's when people go, they want to go to an arena show. It's like ventriloquists. Like people go see a ventriloquist at an arena. I'm a ventriloquist if you can't see my face.
That's right.
You know what I mean? If you're sitting 250 yards away, you're not. Yeah, he's fantastic. Well, you couldn't see his mouth move. Yeah, you couldn't see anything.
I heard that's one of the reasons Steve Martin stopped touring, because he was doing all those arena shows and it's like everybody, it's not. 19,000 people is not the same as, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand people.
He turned into an event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was, let's go to a huge party. That's what cable guy shows were like.
Right.
They were like an enormous, there were beach balls flying around and people were throwing their underwear and like, and he's a big old fat redneck.
It was dudes throwing their underwear.
Yeah. Actually, Ike ran up and threw my underwear out. I'm not kidding you. We were at Clemson. And I took my underwear off and I threw it from the balcony thing. And I was about 60 pounds heavier. My underwear is big now, but it was really, it like floated down like the beginning of Forrest Gump with a feather. Like, and he's like, what the hell is this? And then I was standing up there waving. He's like, damn it, Reno. You know? Yeah. But they were an event. Like, we were in Boston and there were people dressed up as him.
Wow.
At the shows.
In Boston?
In Boston.
Wow.
Dude, sold out Madison Square Garden.
That may have just been regular residents.
Not Madison Square Garden. What's the one in Boston?
The TG Water House. Yeah, yeah. Boston Garden thing.
The new Boston Garden.
Yeah.
I mean,
we sold it out. We didn't sell it out. They sold it out. And I was in the same plane. Yeah.
There's one in every crowd who thinks he's funnier than you. Yeah. How do you deal with people like that where you're just like, dude, shut up?
Sometimes I don't. You know, when people come up, and I live in a kind of small town, and so it would not matter what I did. If I sold insurance, everybody would know I sold insurance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but you know, people see you and they're like, hey, say something funny, you know? And it's like, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is it depends on what kind of mood you're in. Cause sometimes I'll say something that I know is so disgustingly wrong and I know it's not funny, but just to make them never ask me again. You know what I mean? And it's people I know. You know,
it's your next door neighbor.
Yes.
Your mom.
Hey, man, he's a comedian. Come here, Reno. Say something. Dance, monkey. Show him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Show him what you do. Put your nose on in your shoes and giggle around a little bit.
You get that stuff at family reunions. It's like, hey, you know, entertain us.
Yeah. You know what's weird, though, is my buddy's a dentist, and I was bitching about it. And he goes, dude, try being a dentist.
Everyone wants
he
to
goes,
look at
it's worse. He goes, you go to a party, and people are like, hey, what? Is this smelling your cut? And he's like, God dang,
I
man.
Guess it'd be worse if you were like a proctologist.
Yeah.
Hey, I look at this.
I got a lump. Don't worry, I brought my own glove. Check this thing out and see what you got in there. Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, everybody wants to, at family stuff, they're always asking me. The Razorbacks here in town had big coaching change last year, and everybody's like, well, what do you think? I'm like,
look, I'm just here for the food.
That's right. I'm here for the food.
I'm here for the macaroni and cheese.
I don't. It's crazy. Reno Collier is with us here. He'll be performing at the Grove tonight at 7 o'clock, 6 and 8:30 tomorrow night for the shows. GroveComedy.com to get the tickets. GroveComedy.com to do that. And so we've talked a little bit about your life comes out in the act. People are going to hear a lot of stories.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff about my kids and some stuff about teaching school and just where we are. There's a little bit of the state of where I feel like our country is right. A little irritated.
That's easy.
With.
That's low hanging fruit right there.
It is, and nobody is taking the side that I'm on without giving too much away. But you don't hear a lot of comedians making fun of the people that I'm making fun of. So
okay,
sweet.
All right, so check it out tonight, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night. GroveComedy.com. Thanks for coming
you
by.
You guys, thanks. Thank you for having
Bill,
me.
Bill, thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. And that club's great, man.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of buddies. I'm excited to be here. I have a bunch of buddies that came through and were like, it's freaking awesome. And I was like,
Dudley's a regular over there. Yes. He's jealous right now because, I mean, he's sitting there listening going, oh, man, I could have been there today. Like, Dudley, be sitting right there.
Could have sat in today. All right. Much more coming up here on Ruskin and Zach. We'll be right back. So here we are.